He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and developer of delicious, usable apps, I guess.
And he is Aubrey Goodman, iOS dev, information architecture, and Doctor of Doom.
Oh. Which I hope not.
Actually no idea what that means. But anyway, thank you guys for stepping in here to another episode of a little show that we like to call Distilled.
It's going to be an abbreviated episode this week because time constraints have limited our access. But, you know, we'll try to keep her interesting for you. This week we are joined by Mr. Ned Pope, who is the president of the Florida Next Foundation. Ned, you want to give us a little intro?
Sure. It's good to be on the show today, fellas. Glad to be here. We are co-located at the Wave in beautiful downtown Tampa. So that's how we all got to know each other. And we do a number of different things over at the Florida Next Foundation. Most importantly, try to help start up nonprofits. So we're in that same kind of hustle, trying to get started, bootstrapped. A lot of, I think there are a lot more obstacles than people maybe realize to starting up a nonprofit where you cannot accept equity share capital. Mm-hmm. So imagine if you had to start your business without being able to offer an equity share or even give the fucking money back. That's pretty hard, too. Like, can you just give this to us to get started?
Yeah, nope.
No. Can't do that either. Social return, like altruistic return, good feelings. So I think we try to do that in innovative ways, try to get out there in community and have some fun. So,
and apparently getting some value on podcast shout-outs.
Yeah, podcast shout-outs. Let's do it.
That's great.
I'll take all the earned media I can get.
Yeah. I'll take the unearned media as well.
Yeah, just all the media. Just all the media, please. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Florida Next has been a supporter of Tampa Bay Wave pretty much since the beginning, as far as I can tell, and certainly since we moved into the new space here this year in 2013. Here in Rivergate Tower, otherwise known as the Beer Can or the Sykes Building. I think that was one of the big selling points for a lot of the early tenants, was this idea that Florida Next was having this presence here and, you know, the opportunity to see Alex Sink in the office here, just rubbing elbows with the state, former CIO. CFO. Excuse me.
Chief Financial Officer.
These acronyms: CIO, CMO, CTO, CEO. Yeah. I don't know. It's too many.
Yeah. The government world is filled with acronyms.
By the way, I love when you bring up the Florida. Sorry, I'm gonna rip on you. When you bring up the Florida Next, when you Google Florida Next Foundation, you get Florida Next Foundation uncategorized.
Uncategorized. Oh, man.
It's kind of funny.
Can you all help us find a category? You guys are the tech geniuses. I don't know how to do that crap.
We have no idea exactly what we do.
I didn't even know it defined a category. Apparently it doesn't, and I'm correct.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Don't know what our category is.
So, if any of the listeners out there can help us define our Google category, that would be wonderful.
Is it like iTunes where there's like a fixed set of categories that just don't even, that they, it's not, it seems like it's like 10 years out of date, even though iTunes has only been around for 5 years.
Yeah, I'm going to use a term, meta tags, and I have no idea of its actual relevance to this conversation, but that's about the only thing I can do is just throw something out there seems like it might have something to do peripherally with what Justin was saying.
That's pretty much what I do all the time.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. Like that. I do none of the above.
Yeah.
Really. So what are some of the things that you guys have got coming up next year? What are some of the hot things you guys are working on right now for?
Oh, man, I feel like everything we've got coming up is so hot, dude, that you just have to know about it. But most importantly,
tell us.
Most importantly, we've got two events coming up. We've got one on December 5th in St. Pete. It's going to be at the Dolly Museum. Then we have another coming up on December 11th at UNF in Jacksonville. What these are called impact forums. So we give people an opportunity to stop in and sign up and register for the event and pitch an idea as to how they would make their community better.
Sweet.
And then what we try to do is help them take a business-minded approach to that idea. Let's organize it in a project. Let's create a budget. Let's come up with a sustainable funding plan. And then we help those nonprofits that struggle with the concept of not really being able to raise capital initially, by allowing them to build their program under our 501c3 umbrella, because that's another obstacle they have. Even if you're trying to raise money, if you haven't been approved for a 501c3, or even if it's pending,
right.
It's a tenuous circumstance because let's just say it doesn't get approved and you've raised $1 million. You got to give all that back or the IRS is coming after you. So it can be very tenuous to try and raise money for an initiative even with a 501c3 application pending. Yep. So what we try to do is, and it gives them also a way that is unlike the private marketplace, because nonprofits and social enterprise ventures are so unique to having a community benefit structure. It gives them a way to prove their concept.
Yeah.
Sometimes we come out of these impact forums and they sound like great ideas, and the ideas get a lot of votes in the forums, and we organize them when we move forward. And we just realize that either there are other organizations in that space already doing that work better.
Yep.
And we refer those participants to join up with those organizations as opposed to trying to, you know, do something from scratch. Or we just realize that, you know, there's not enough momentum around this concept right now. And that's okay too.
Oh yeah,
because they haven't taken all that risk. They haven't hired attorneys to, you know, expensively construct 501c3 applications for them. They haven't put together a project team. They haven't spent time, you know, going around to the community trying to fundraise and things of that nature. So I think it's something cool. I think it's a service that hasn't really been in existence in Florida to date. I know Tampa Chamber recently went out to Nashville and did sort of a benchmarking trip, got a lot of information out there about what they're doing with their startup community,
the
Music City. And one of the things they came back with was one of the four pillars of entrepreneurship in Nashville is social enterprise, and that is the one that's really not being addressed in Florida, much less Tampa Bay. So I feel like that's our niche. That's a good fit for us, and we're going to get after it, man.
What does social enterprise mean?
Social enterprise is basically a business that is developed for the sake of a community benefit.
Okay.
So it's a nonprofit, and it really is. It really stands for a traditional nonprofit, but using that term social enterprise gets people in the mindset that this is an entrepreneurial venture. You know, it's not just some you know, traditional charity that you're trying to start. That you need to construct it in the form of a real business. You need to have a real budget. You need to think about things like accounting and HR and your actual product or service that you're providing, and try to build value around it. Come up with some metrics tabulation so you can actually have a tangible result at the end of it that helps you with your funding, that helps you with your sustainability. Thinking about all of these things on the front end, having a development director. We currently don't have one of those at Florida Next. Hope to have one soon, because, man, that's a hell of a thing to try and do on a part-time job.
Yeah, I bet.
But that's something we're certainly going to grow into quickly, and I think other organizations would benefit from learning from some of our experience and what we've seen over the years. I've been involved in nonprofits for over a decade, and I've also implemented state and federal programs with nonprofits that have sustainable earned revenue streams.
Sweet.
So gotten pretty good at this weird, crazy niche type of work.
That's awesome. It sounds like the Impact Forum is... The Impact Forum is just one evening, right? It's the one evening.
It is. What I would call it is a kickoff event.
Yeah, kickoff.
Yeah.
So we go to a number of different communities around the state, and we'll do this event to generate some ideas that we would try to implement within 12 months. And those people that want to participate in those will carry on with us for 12 months. So we're fast and furious doing the South Florida swing in the new year. Fort Lauderdale is going to be at Broward College. In Miami, we've got a couple venues, venue options in Miami. So doing a lot of things, trying to build it up.
That's awesome.
And see where it goes.
Yeah. It's a really great opportunity for folks, anybody in the community. I mean, it's not limited to anybody can participate in these impact forums, as I understand it.
Yeah. Get a swig here. This is a spot for a crossfade. Anybody can really participate in these things. I would say we try to target invites. Number one, we don't want to open it wide open to the public. Yep. So I would say anybody that's interested, reach out to our organization. You can just do info@floridanext.org, and we see the emails.
Sweet.
And we respond pretty quickly to those. So just reach out to us. Once we hit a capacity, what we would do is loop interested people into the specific programs that are generated, or get them lined up for the next impact forum, which typically happens within 6 months to a year in that same location.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely open to the public, because we do want to have the right motivated type of folks there. And then we also have capacity issues where, you know, we can't rent out the Tampa Bay Times Forum for one of these. And so our venue limitations will sometimes restrict it to 200 or less. But yeah, anybody who wants information on this, I'll be glad to get it to them and try to get them set up for the next one of these.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's all great. We had one here at the First Wave Venture Center.
Yep.
Four months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Three. And it was amazing. There was just an enormous outpouring of just great creativity, creative ideas, interesting approaches to solving some really important problems. And some of the ideas that came, it was like 20 ideas, it seemed like it came out of that.
Yeah.
And the top three were so hard to pick from. You know, it was like a toss-up. And I'm glad that the way that the voting works, it's really conducive to not just picking one, but picking a few, because it isn't just about, you know, taking one idea and, you know, pushing it down the field, but really just kind of rising tide effect and you know, getting everybody engaged in however they are willing to engage.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And to build off what Aubrey's saying is we rank them for the sake of numerical value, but there's not like a first prize, second prize, third prize. Any of the ideas that get support, that get those winning votes to get in that top three, they get our full support for the rest of the year.
Nice.
An example of that would be one of the programs, which I can't announce yet because it's resulting in a partnership with a key player locally that's going to be announced in January, but it's going to be a huge, huge deal here in the Tampa Bay area. And that was our number two finisher. And we've already gotten like half the funding we need, and
that's amazing.
You know, we're raising for that. It's going to be a huge, huge initiative, and like I say, have a very large scale nonprofit partner that's going to be helping us. And so, even though they didn't finish first, that, you know, that one's moving forward. The first place finisher was Downtown Sounds. Mm-hmm. What we're working on,
which was originally Sunday Sounds.
Yeah, it was original Sunday Sounds, but we realized the pigeonholing us into the availability of Sunday was going to make it tough, so we changed to Downtown Sounds.
I like Downtown Sounds. I think that actually has a better ring to it. Like
Downtown.
Sunday Sounds has good alliteration, but Downtown Sound has consonants. What's the other one? Not alliteration, but the vowel version.
Yeah.
I don't know, something frenetic.
Yeah.
Something about, you know, commonplace or something like that.
Insert big word here.
Tampa Bay is where you hear the music when it's downtown. And you can...
Yeah. I love it, dude.
Big up. It's good.
Justin, you are a jingle writing beast, bro. You're like
a
jingle writing freestyle artist.
So speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about the other part of Ned Pope.
Oh, okay.
You have an illustrious music and production career, as I recall.
Yeah, I mean, if you can call something that has never done anything for me but lose money a career.
Hey, listen, I've done a lot of things in my life to qualify for that.
I'm trying to find out what our parameters are for how we define certain things. We're on the same page.
I've failed at a lot of businesses.
So, yeah, man, I've been doing music for a long time. Been working on a project for the last year with T-Pain's DJ and producer, DJ Lil Boy. So if he's listening to this, what up, homie? And so he's out there in Tallahassee, and we just did a song for the Florida State football team, that kind of like an anthem style song, but it's not corny. It's not all about football. It's not like that at all, actually. But I guess that has a loose reference.
Is it hip hop?
Yeah, it's hip hop. So I do a lot of singing. Sweet. I do some rapping. Do a lot of things.
Can I hear this somewhere?
Apparently.
Yes, you can go to neiledward.com. So when
neiledward.com.
Yeah, that's my full name.
Oh boy.
Creative, right?
Look at this.
Yeah.
He even has a stage name, Ned.
I have a stage name. That's my actual name.
Wow.
How about that? But nobody calls me that. So it works perfectly.
Wow.
Secret identity.
No, it's great. It's great. Cause like Ned Pope and
secret.
Neil Edward both just sound like completely normal names.
Yeah. Joe, I'm just a dude.
Which is great.
It's cool.
Just a dude.
No need for a fancy stage name.
Yeah.
Just, you know, my stage name would be John Burcham.
Hey,
whatever.
If we're going with first name, middle name, and not last name, mine would just be Aubrey Lane. which is actually pretty cool, I think. But
yeah, it's pretty dope. I like it.
There's very few people with the name Lane.
See, here's the weird thing, and this is the first time I've ever publicly communicated this, so this is an exclusive premiere here for all the seven people who give a shit.
Oh, boy.
Neil is my grandfather on one side of my family's name, and Edward is my grandfather on the other side of my family's name. So my parents had a hard time deciding which name
Edward
would come
Neil
first.
Or Neil Edward.
That's it. So on my birth certificate, it says Ned in parentheses, Edward Neil Pope.
Oh, that's
Ned
kidding.
Stands for Neil Edward. See how cool my
Look
parents are? Super
Look
cool. Or dorks.
I love it. This is a great photo of you on here. This is
you got that? Oh yeah, I'm going
you know
ham.
You,
I'm going
you know
in.
Who you look like there? Oh, yeah. You look like Scott Stapp from what's the band?
Just stop what you're saying because that's not a compliment, dude. I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out there.
You know the band?
Yeah, I know
about?
Who it is.
Who is it?
Yeah, it's
name that band.
I'm not gonna name it because then people are gonna look it up and be like, "Oh, he's just gonna look like that dude."
I know exactly. God,
you know what's funny? You want to hear some funny randomness?
Yeah.
T.I. saved that dude's life.
What? How?
The story goes, you can go on and look this up and confirm that I am speaking an actual rumor.
Yeah, and this is Scott Stapp, lead singer of...
almost worked.
I'm not going to give you it any hints. Works. I know what it is. They're based out of Tallahassee.
I'm about to tell you right now.
I didn't hate their music.
Surveys.
It's corny, but no, there's a story online you can look up where they were at like some music conference or something and they crossed paths in the lobby. And the dude Scott was wearing an Alabama hat, and that's T.I.'s team. So he said, "Yo, Roll Tide," or something like that.
Yeah.
And then later that night, he saw the dude laying in a bush wearing the Tide hat and said, "Hey, that's not, you know, some dude passed out on the sidewalk. That's the guy from the conference that I saw earlier. What's up with him?" And turned out he had tried to kill himself and jumped off a building.
No kidding. Wow.
And was bleeding to death. And then T.I. like,
holy
his
cow,
boy, like called the ambulance and saved that dude.
That's like Creed.
Yeah, so I am confirming that a rumor exists stating that same story. How's
that's
that?
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah, I don't
nice.
Know if it's true.
You get a little bit of everything on Distill.
Yeah, I never thought I'd be talking about that here. What do I know?
No, that's...
I just thought it was super random that you brought it up and just had to share that with you.
It's cool because I think it's really cool to see people's sort of other side, right? Like
the other side.
We watch you representing Florida Next and you're all buttoned up and formal at the events and putting on the president persona, and then on the weekend we see you know clattering with DJ Lowboy at FSU man. On the mic, and that's pretty it's pretty awesome.
It is. It's a lot of fun, man.
I love that.
A lot of fun. You gotta, you know, I feel like our generation, we were born into an existence where there was a lot of things going on around us, and you could either be ADD or, you know, you could decide on a few things you like. But, you know, what I've found in my experience is I don't know a lot of folks in our generation under 40 years old who are only involved in one thing. And I think that's a good
that's
thing.
True.
Yeah, that's
you know, we feel like there's a collective grouping of different interests that define each one of us.
Yeah.
And there's not a single one of them that define us completely. And I think that that's cool. I mean, I'm a big fan of Plato's philosophy, and his first academy that he put together was kind of like our modern day version of switching classes in high school or whatever, where you have, you know, seven or eight classes throughout the course of the day.
Yep.
His whole philosophy was that in order to be a truly enlightened person, you had to be multifaceted. So you had to take mathematics, but then you also had to take science. Then you also had an athletic period where you know, learned how to be a good athlete and take care of yourself and, you know, learn about all different types of things. So I've always been very interested in those types of topics about multifaceted people and how people balance different things and manage different elements of their life. So
it's funny.
Yeah, it's cool.
You're doing this hand gesture, which reminds me of my favorite way of practicing these things, which is to think about code while I am juggling and standing on a balance board.
Yeah, and I've seen you do it.
Yeah. I've
actually seen you do it.
Yeah.
it's pretty damn impressive. I must say so myself.
I thought so.
I can't juggle one item, so I'm like stoked.
You like
on
throw
you.
It up in the air and then just walk away.
No, just falls.
Yeah, yeah.
Just falls.
No, it just stays there. Somehow he's magic.
Yeah, Ned's really good at throwing things, but not so much at catching them and doing something with them after that. No, it's really
a solid 40% jump shooter in high school. I mean, solid.
40.
Four out of every 10 were money.
Yeah, I was good. About 20. So you're doing twice as
is
good
that
as I.
Trust me, 40's still bad.
Is that
just degrees of bad?
Badminton or volleyball? Y'all
it's terrible
about.
Mitten is what it is.
Yeah, we're not the most athletic bunch here at the Wave. Although
that is a lie. There's like so many talented, physically capable people.
Are.
It's funny. Yeah. I have juggling equipment here, and it seems like every single motherfucker who walks past my door is like, "Oh, cool, you have juggling equipment," and they just pick it up and start juggling.
Yeah, but that's not athletic.
There's like.
I would beg to differ. That's pretty athletic.
It's hand-eye coordination.
That's hand-eye coordination, dude.
Yes.
It's extremely athletic if you can close your eyes while juggling. I've only managed to get two cycles with my eyes closed.
Well, Chris Pizzo apparently was a football and baseball star in high school.
That's right.
Yeah. And I played basketball in 1 year of college and several years in high school. And there's a lot of folks around here who did athletic stuff. And I've seen so many people just kill it. On that land board in there, balance board.
God,
that thing's so hard.
It's
that
the so ultimate
hard.
Equalizer. If you can balance and you stand on that thing and you've never done it before and you're like, okay, this is cool. Yeah. And some people get on there. I've seen some people get on there and just like rigid and then they just like fall. It's they're doomed to fall and break themselves.
Yeah.
But it is quite an impressive thing to see.
I did play hockey for 10 years.
I was going to say, you were talking about athletics, and you're like, oh, and by the way, I just happened to play hockey for 10 years.
I just happened to play, like, the roughest sport in the history of the
planet. Cool. I can almost do a backflip on my rollerblades. Yeah. But whatever.
I mean, it's just like football, except when you get tackled, it's a hard surface, and everybody's got sharp blades.
Right. When they run over your finger, you have one less.
Right.
True story.
Yeah.
It's interesting because... I think you're exactly right, you know, talking about Plato's sort of take on it and this multifaceted thing. And I know it's the same thing. I mean, a lot of people our age are that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been my experience that I've used things in my past or from other disciplines, other areas that I spend time in. I spend a lot of time in music as well and performing and that type of thing. And so I use that a lot. Even day to day in my professional work, right? And I think like that spreading across multiple things and being involved in a lot of different, maybe not immediately obvious that they're complementary type of things, you can bring stuff across them, right? Like I can bring stuff from my design work into music and I can do the same thing, music back to design or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of crossover.
Yeah.
I mean, in my days of performing for 20 years now since I was in high school, it definitely has helped me with public speaking and presenting to a group. You just get so used to being in front of people, and it's a lot easier if you're just talking and you don't have to actually hit notes and perform.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
To me, that's like no sweat. Yeah, it's standing up and talking to people. Yeah, it's nothing. So,
that's right. I want to point out at this moment that several weeks ago we had Kyle Matthews and Ben Stark on here to talk about jailbreaking, and after that, or as part of that, we were plugging this event that they were doing for neuroblastoma. At the Ritz Ebor here in Tampa. Yep. And
because of Ezra, support them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because of Ezra.org. And so Ned, of course, shows up to this karaoke for the Cure event and then proceeds to just like impress the hell out of the whole fucking crowd. And so, you know, you're talking about hitting those high notes, but yet you sang.
Yeah.
What'd you sing?
I sang Don't Stop Believing.
Oh, good Lord.
And when I went on stage, the dude was like, drop D, right? I was like, no, not drop D. And he goes,
he gave me this look like,
he's like,
sure?
You're really going to sing it like proper like?
That's
and then
funny.
He owned it. He owned it so well that somebody paid $200 to have him get up there and sing another song.
That's right. That's
wow.
right. I got $200 for the organization to sing another one. So
that's yeah. awesome.
Even though I looked like an egomaniac going up there in a karaoke band doing two songs, I was able to put some money into a phenomenal organization through the pipes. So that was
that's cool.
cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was that's a lot of fun. Cool. A lot of fun.
Man, you know, we're going to get like some, we're going to get a jam session happening here.
We have can't wait. I'm ready.
There's a drum set. Literally
we got the
2 meters.
I'm going to bring in
right
a drum
now.
Set. We got a
my,
PA.
Guitar amps.
No shortage of musicians
guitars.
And talented folk.
I'm ready to go, man.
Yeah.
Ready
we got
to
the mixer
go.
Now. We got the PA. It's all coming together.
Yeah, dude. It's
to
coming
go.
Together.
We are ready to go. I can't
yeah.
wait.
Yes. No, we really should do it. I've been talking about, you know, wave karaoke for since we moved into the new space, and it's going
to
happen. Maybe it happens
before
the end of
the year. I'd like to write some original music.
Original music, even?
I love original music.
Let's
do it.
I was never a cover
band. Way to raise the bar there.
My band,
Davis.
When I played in the band, in my band, we wrote most of what we played. We played occasional covers because it's fun to do that occasionally. But there was actually ended up being kind of a rift in the band because of that, where half the band really just all they wanted to do was go out to bars and play covers. And I really never saw a whole lot of value in that.
But that's because you love writing music.
Well, it's funny.
I'll tell you the value in that. Okay, I'll give you a personal example. When I was in college, I had an original band called The Feedback Project, and you can go on iTunes and still find some of our old stuff up there.
Oh, nice.
And we were kind of like The Roots. We had a live band, hip-hop group.
Yep.
My roommates all play in the band. Our living room was all band equipment. It was a trip, man. It was a cool lifestyle. And so we played all the time, packed out shows. If we made $500 total, not each
between
person,
right, yeah. total,
we were
killing
stoked.
Killing it.
All right, that's original music.
But
yeah. cover band?
Oh, two.
I played in a cover band. We played John Mayer. We played.
Oh yeah.
You know Dave Matthews.
That's it.
And, Jack Johnson. All these played
yeah.
all these you know Greek fraternity sorority
all
parties
those,
and
yeah.
shows and everything. $1,000 to $2,000 per
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely.
Packed out house.
Each or...
And like you talk about the one element, which I won't go into too much detail in because I'm married and happily so, but I met my wife at one of those gigs.
Aha!
Because she came with her roommate who was, you know, having cups of coffee
yeah.
with our guitar player. So, you know... Yeah, it's a pretty interesting difference when you see it, because
is.
you love making original music.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
But it doesn't pay much,
right?
Pay.
Well,
see, you know what?
That was my night job.
That's the thing.
You know what?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't pay because we're not even asking people to pay.
Well, and you know the thing right. about it is what's funny about that is there's a very interesting parallel there between entrepreneurship versus like working for somebody, right?
Yeah.
Like working for somebody is like a cover song.
Oh,
you
point.
Go
there. You go.
And
great
money.
Point.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
So,
right.
Write songs for yourself. That's what. That's like. Like revenue first, write songs for other people. That's like asking for money, like getting VC, venture capital.
yeah. Well, I mean, it's like,
well, no, but
it's
I
like
see,
musical
I see
entrepreneurship.
Or
maybe
yeah, that's really
around.
What it is. The,
yeah.
the cover band parallel is you go into that because it's a more
that's
stable line
want.
Of work, and that's
right.
how you pay your
that's
bills,
what people
and it's easier
hear.
To do. Right?
It's easier.
It's easy
right.
to learn somebody's song.
Yeah. yeah.
Writing music is
writing
much harder.
Very
you're taking a lot of risks. You're putting yourself out
yeah.
there. You're not going to make much money. However,
unless
the
you write
potential,
that love song.
The upside,
the upside is virtually unlimited if,
yeah.
if you know your music takes off. So
yeah,
I think that's a great parallel, man. I never thought about it like that. We got to hang on to that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
you know,
a hell of an analogy.
I heard an author say this. He was talking about taking risks and that type of thing, and he's in a very simple phrase that has stuck with me and sort of backed up my thought about this. He said, you know, cover bands don't change the world.
That's right.
And that's
no.
it.
It's true.
That's it. You know?
Although Zoso is pretty damn good.
yeah.
Okay, they're a select
Led Zeppelin
handful.
Cover band.
Handful.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're a select
handful.
Yeah.
I'm convinced, though, they think they're actually Led Zeppelin.
you know, I made another comparison to the music thing to a guy in Nashville once. I was talking about doing like speaking, going to conferences and speaking and that type of thing. And I do quite a bit of that. And I likened speaking gigs, like doing conference speaking and that type of thing, to being a musician. Because you start at little local meetups and little things like this, barn camps, right? And that's like
open
playing
mic.
Little local club, open yep. mic nights. And then you sort of move up and you start doing little regional conferences, still not getting paid, but, you know, you're a little bigger crowd. People start to know who you are, start to follow you as a speaker, blah, blah, blah. And you go all the way up to what you might consider like the arena circuit, which is like you're getting paid now $15,000, $20,000 to come keynote at events, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think there's a lot of parallels between what speakers at events do and how bands sort of build up a following and that type of thing.
Yeah. Most definitely.
In fact, I think speakers should learn from that and can use a lot of those techniques. I even joked that I wanted to get tour t-shirts like for each year that I was speaking and like put all the like speaking engagements like it's a tour and give it a name. Be like this like the 2014 user experience blah 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 tour. Justin
That'd
Davis.
Be awesome.
Like, you know?
That would be awesome.
Really
airport
make
tour.
It like a whole
in your case, the airport tour.
Yeah, the airport tour, right? Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So
cool.
There you
go. Yeah.
There's a lot of parallels between
Most
what
definitely.
Musicians do and what entrepreneurs do.
Yeah, I mean, and at every level of the experience, I think, you know, I mean, you could liken audio and video production to unit testing and
sure.
you know, that kind of stuff. Like, there's a lot of effort that goes into things before they ever hear, before anyone, you know, outside the studio ever hears just like a second of that track.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure it sounds really, really good. In headphones, in speakers, in everything, in the car, in the coffee shop, whatever, it's going to have that good range.
It's so hard, man.
It is so hard.
I've mixed a bunch of songs, but I've never mastered a song. I always would take it to a professional mastering house or somebody that I know that does that. And this time I had to do it quick for the FSU song because it was getting played in the stadium, and so we were under a deadline. And so I went out there and mastered it, and I did a decent job of it, but it took me probably 4 or 5 times of burning the CD, taking it into my truck, listening to it,
driving around
the run-of-the-mill speakers. I don't have a amazing system or in there or anything. Then listening to it on earbuds, and then standard
on like a jam
mixing
box,
monitor headphones and things.
On somebody's little
yeah, and I got my little
whatever.
Mackies at the house, my little 8-inch Mackie monitors, and of course they make everything sound like
amazing.
Gold.
Right.
So even though everything's crystal clear, you don't always get a firm representation of what the run of the mill speaker system might sound in that. So
it was
quite an experience of like you just have to be very calm, very even keel, and be prepared to deal with some of that frustration.
It's very frustrating.
I mean, you imagine it was 2 a.m, I'm going in and out from my house to the driveway to like trying not to wake my daughter up.
Right.
My wife is awake because we have a 3-month-old and she's tending to him. And so, you know, she invariably was hearing me like, what the hell are you doing, dude?
Oh, man.
Yes. You listen to the same 3 seconds like 15
right.
fucking times.
Dang it, the chorus is
trying
still
to
off.
Get it just right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I've done at least 100 hours of audio editing, listening, cutting, everything, just for audio for a podcast, a spoken word, which is not even, that's like 2 orders of magnitude less difficult than audio mastering
for
music.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because the level of the dynamic range is so, so different for music versus voice. And shit, I have so much respect for audio producers now.
Me too.
A year ago, I was like, yeah, whatever. You just put a mic in there and, you know, maybe have a mixer. But no, my God, it's so much worse than that.
Yeah.
And especially you have a bunch of drunk assholes talking over each other.
Oh, yeah.
As was, I think, last 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Again, about that, folks.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, this is what I majored in school, was recording industry production. I was going to be a record producer. And I remember going into a lot of studios in Nashville, and you would see, like, they would have between the monitors, you have your sets of monitors, right? Usually 2, maybe 3. And then they would have like a boom box and computer speakers and all that kind of stuff, just like laying up on top of the console so that as they're in the studio mixing, they could just, you know, burn a CD really quick or whatever they need to do and play it through those to get those levels. It's so frustrating because you hear it. In, you know, do whatever you're mixing in, usually monitors, and you're like, this is great. I have this so dialed in, and you put it in the car, and it's, the bass is gone.
It sounds like
shit. Or, yeah. That's right. Crazy.
Yeah, it's just
very
all,
aggravating.
All out of whack.
Yeah.
It's crazy. If you listen to stuff on headphones, and it sounds so good, and then you play it on anything else, and you're like, what the fuck?
Right.
It's bad.
Right.
So you got to do the headphones last.
Yeah, you really do. You really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We're gonna cut it here because my co-host and our guest have other things to do.
Well, you can talk
today,
for another 30 minutes.
I could talk for an hour, but yeah. No one wants to fucking listen to that. So I want to thank Mr. Ned Pope here for gracing us with his presence. For
very welcome, I appreciate being here, fellas.
Unfortunately, thanks, abbreviated episode, and maybe early next year you can come back and tell us these secret news you couldn't tell us now.
Yes, I might be a recurring character.
Oh. We would love that.
You know, I might be like the Leonardo DiCaprio of Growing Pains, who just pops in every once in a while, like, "Hey, what up? I screwed some shit up next door. See ya."
You could be like, the Justin Timberlake to our Saturday Night Live.
Oh, well, perfect. Yeah, that's an even better analogy.
Yeah, it's great. We're good at
how hilarious is that dude?
Oh my God, he's hilarious.
He's really, he's the funniest guy. I mean, he's a great musician, but I had no idea.
He's straight up a great entertainer.
He really is.
I mean, just has
he lives for entertainment.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
That's it.
Give him credit.
And so do we. And we would love to entertain you for another half hour, but sadly this week our schedules preclude us from being able to do that.
Enjoy the next 30 minutes of your time you didn't think you would otherwise have.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know.
Justin and I will move forward,
you know, feeling this wet blanket of guilt trip that Aubrey has laid on us pretty thick.
That's right.
And, you know. Trying to somehow recover and move on with our
days. No, not at all. And next week we will be off, so sorry about that. And catch us in early December. We will have some magnificent stuff to share with you. I don't know what it is yet, but I promise it will be amazing.
Yeah. Cool.
So, all right, folks. This has been Distilled. Thanks for listening.
Good deal. Peace.